Doesn't that start tomorrow? It's sunup? No, not according to God's calendar. The day begins the night before when we see three stars arise in the sky. Then that next day begins. And so tomorrow night, when you see three stars in the sky, if you go outside and you look, it's not too cloudy for you to spot some. That's when Yom Kippur ends. And what is Yom Kippur? It is the day of covering. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of you rejoice in that Father God has given us an eternal covering? So we will be looking today, this day of Yom Kippur. According to the Lord's calendar, the year is 5780. I know some of you may be saying, well, isn't it according to the Gregorian calendar, 2019? Yes. But God has a different calendar than man. Abba, Father God has commanded that once a year, on the 10th day of his calendar, the Hebrew month of Tishri, Israel's Kohen Gadol, the high priest, was to enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and atone for sins of the Jewish people. This day is called the Day of Atonement, or in Hebrew, Yom Kippur, the Day of Covering. All our sins by Yeshua are not simply covered, but they've been washed by his blood. What the most solemn of all the days of the Hebrew calendar, Yom Kippur, it remains a reflective holiday among Jewish people even today. Adonai gave Moshe strict instructions for Aaron, his brother Aaron, on the succeeding Kohen Gadol, the high priest, to follow, how to enter the holy place and how to perform the atoning sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. First, the high priest was required to ritually cleanse himself in water. That's a mikvah. Then he had to adorn himself with a special linen vestments, a turban, a tunic, undergarments, and a sash around his waist. You may be wondering, well, where is this all found? Turn with me now, if you will, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. And as you're turning there, in Hebrew the book is called Vayikra. As you're turning there, what has happened just a few verses prior? But Aaron's two oldest sons did what was profane in the eyes of the Lord. They offered incense in an unworthy manner. See, God has set the boundaries. He's told us how to worship him, how to serve him, and he's given us instruction in his word. And so, as we begin here in verse 2, this is a conversation between Adonai and not Aharon, Aaron, but Moshe, God's holy prophet. And Adonai said to Moshe, tell your brother Aharon, Aaron, not to come at just any time into the holy place beyond the curtain. Now, was this a temple? No, this was a Mishkan, the tabernacle. They were still in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. So we have to set this all in proper order so we can understand what's taking place here. So we go forward here in all these things. Here is how Aaron is to enter the holy place. With a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering. He is to put on holy linen tunic and have linen shorts next to his bare flesh. Think about that. God introduced shorts, undergarments for us to wear. Have the linen sash wrapped around him and wearing a linen turban. They are holy garments. He is to bathe himself, his body, into water, and then put them on. He is to take from the community of the people of Israel two male goats for sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to present the bull for a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and make atonement for his household. See, he was not only to be the high priest over the nation of Israel, but also his own household, his descendants. Isn't it amazing when God calls a man to lead a congregation? The elders of the congregation are to look to see how that man deals and intercedes with his own household, his own family. See, God is setting all these precedents here. Let's move forward in all these areas. Verse 6, Aaron is to present the bull for a sin offering, which is for himself, to make atonement for himself and make atonement for his household. He is to take two goats and place them before Adonai at the entrance of the tent meeting. Then Aaron is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Adonai and the other for Ahazel. Aaron is to present the goat whose lot fell to Adonai and offered as a sin offering. But the goat whose lot fell to Ahazel is to be presented alive to Adonai, to be used for making atonement over it by sending it away in the desert for Ahazel. Aaron is to present the bull of the sin offering for himself. He will make atonement for himself and his household. He is to slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before Adonai, and with his hands full of the ground fragrant incense, he is to bring it inside the curtain. What is a curtain? That separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. He is to put the incense on the fire before Adonai so that the cloud from the incense will cover the ark cover, which is over the testimony, in order that he will not die. Think about that. If he didn't do these things, exactly as Adonai had told to his younger brother Moshe, he would simply die at that point. Let's move forward. This is a holy thing unto God. He is to take some of the bull's blood and sprinkle it with his finger on the ark cover toward the east. And in the front of the ark cover, he is to sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. If you look at the number seven, that's the number of perfection in God's word. Next, he is to slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the curtain, and to do with its blood as he did with the bull's blood, sprinkling on the ark cover and the front of the ark cover. He will make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is there with them in the middle of their uncleanliness. So think about that. Where's the Mishkan? Right in the middle of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. And what would they do when they got up every morning? They would look towards the Mishkan. In the morning, they would see if the pillar of fire was above it, they were to remain staying there in the camp. But if it had moved and gone ahead of them, off to a short distance, then they knew immediately they were supposed to break camp because God was tabernacling with his people. And so Aaron had to go and cleanse that Mishkan. Once a year he would do that with this blood. And so he's getting all these instructions here to do this. Now going back, he will make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions and for all their sins. he is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is there with them right in the middle of their uncleanliness. No one is to be present in the tent of the meeting from the time he enters the holy place to make atonement until the time he comes out. Having made atonement for himself, for his household, and for the entire community of Israel. Then he is to go out to the altar that is before Adonai and make atonement for it. Now he has to make atonement for the altar. Continuing, he is to take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns of the altar. Have you ever seen a picture of the altar? It has four horns. Continuing here. Verse 19. He is to sprinkle some of the blood on his finger seven times, thus purifying and setting it apart from the uncleanliness of the people of Israel. When he has finished atoning for the holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he is to present now the live goat. Aaron is to lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it the transgressions, the crimes, and the sins of the people of Israel. He is to put them on the head of the goat and then send it away into the desert with a man appointed for this purpose. Notice this. Prior to the day of Yom Kippur, he would spend time interceding and praying, and Adonai would show him who was that man who was to be selected to take this goat. Going forward, the goat will bear all the transgressions away to some isolated place. He is to let the goat go in the desert. Aharon, Aaron, is to go back into the tent of the meeting, where he is to remove now his linen garments he put on when he entered the holy place, and he's to leave them there. Why? Because they become sanctified or holy unto the Lord. These garments have. Going forward here. Then he is to bathe his body in water in a holy place and put on his other clothes and come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, thus making atonement for himself and for all the people, all those who are assembled. Continuing. He is to make the fat of the sin offering go up in smoke upon the altar. Notice this. He can't give that and delegate that to anyone else. He's the one that's been sanctified and set apart to do these works, to do these actions of worship unto Adonai. The man who let go of the goat for Azazel is to wash his clothes and bathe in water. Afterwards, he may return now to the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, is to be carried now outside the camp. And there they are to burn it up completely, their hides, their meat, and their dung. The person burning them is to wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. Afterwards, he may return to the camp. Notice now there's another person that's given another assignment, a very, very important assignment. Continuing, it is to be a permanent regulation for you that on the 10th day of the 7th month, you are to deny yourselves and not do any kind of work, both citizen and foreigner living with you. See that? They're trying to include those from outside the community. Because many of us forget that there was a large group of people that left Egypt with the Jewish people on their way. There was a mixed group. God had a plan to reach the nations even at the beginning of calling out his people from the land of Egypt. Going on now to verse 30. For this day of atonement will be made for you to purify you. You will be clean before Adonai from all your sins. Isn't that beautiful? But this is just a temporary covering. It is a Shabbat of complete rest for you, and you're to deny yourself. What is that? You're not to eat that day. For some, eating and not drinking of water. This is a permanent regulation. The Kohen should, Kohen anointed and consecrated to be the Kohen in his father's place, will make atonement. He will put on linen garments and holy garments. Now this is giving instruction for the sons of Aaron, because Aaron wasn't going to live forever. We read in the scriptures that one day he died, and one of his sons was appointed to the high priest to the nation of Israel. So God is making provision in all these things. Verse 33, he will make atonement for the especially holy place, and he will make atonement for the tent of the meeting and the altar. He will make atonement for the Kohanim and for all the people of the community. This is a permanent regulation for you to make atonement for the people of Israel because of all their sins once a year. And Moshe did as Adonai had ordered him. There ends the reading of Leviticus. All this was done year after year on the Day of Atonement in the Holy of Holies to atone for Israel's sins. These sacrifices provided a picture once and for all of the sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua. For it is impossible, this is Hebrews 10:4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Otherwise, we would not be doing this year to year. The high priest wouldn't be doing this year to year, from one generation to another, passing that baton to his next son that would take over and serve in this way. Now we transition now, as now we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 21. And as you're turning there, notice this, that from AD 70 till this very day, there has not been a high priest of Israel. And every year from AD 70 up to this day, there has not been a bull to sacrifice. There has not been a goats for sacrifice. And there have been no lambs for sacrifice. So what did God give to the Jewish people and to the nations to replace God's ordained plan? The book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 21 gives us now the insights. But Yeshua became a Kohen by oath, which God swore when he said to him. And when did the Father speak to him? It's recorded in Psalms 110:4 in Hebrew Tehillim. And this is what it says, Adonai has sworn and will not change his mind. And for those of you who do not know what Adonai means, it means Lord, simplified. He will not change his mind. You are a Kohen forever. Now, who is he speaking to? Aharon or one of his descendants? No. He's speaking to his own son. Continuing here. Also, this shows how much better of which Yeshua has become the guarantor. Moreover, the present Kohanim are many in number. And when was the book of Hebrews written? Prior to AD 70, when the temple was destroyed. So for the next 40 years after Yeshua died, Yom Kippur was continued to be celebrated in a traditional way. Whereas AD 70 up to this time, God allowed the temple to be destroyed and the Levitical priesthood in its order to disappear. The Levites are still with us, but their priesthood came to an end at AD 70. So continuing here. Moreover, the present Kohanim are many in number because they are prevented by death from continuing in office. Because he lives forever, who is this but Yeshua, his position as a Kohen does not pass away, pass on to someone else. And consequently, he is totally able to deliver those who approach God through him, since he is alive forever and thus able to intercede on their behalf. Think about that. Yeshua, every day, is interceding before the Father on our behalf. Continuing here. This is the kind of Kohen Gadol that meets our need. Holy, without evil, without stain, set apart from sinners, and raised higher than the heavens. One who does not have the daily necessity, like other Kohenim, Goldolim, of offering up sacrifices first for their own sins and only then for those of the people, because he has offered one sacrifice once and for all by offering up himself. Notice Adonai did not say, Moshe, Moses, Aaron is supposed to die, and his blood is to be offered upon the altar to take away the sins of the people. That never took place. But Yeshua, when he came, he became our Passover lamb. And it's by his blood, when he rose from the dead, then he ascended to the Father. What did he bring up there? His own blood. Because when Moshe saw the tent of meeting upon that mountain and the altar and all the implements of the Mishkan, he saw what was already in heaven. And we'll get into that in a few moments here. Yeshua, the one who does not have to do the daily necessity like the other Kohenim Gadolim of offering up sacrifices, first for their own sins and then only for those people, because he offered one sacrifice once and for all by offering up himself. For the Torah appoints as Kohenim Gadolim men who have weakness, but the text which speaks about swearing an oath, a text written later than the Torah, appoints a son, that's capital S-O-N, who has been brought to the goal forever. See, he reached the goal of offering his own life upon the execution stake as our Passover lamb. Now moving on to Hebrews chapter 8:1. Here is the whole point of what we've been saying. We have such a Kohen Gadol, as it has been described, and he does sit at the right hand of HaGadulah, that is, the God Most High in heaven. And where is that written? In the Tanakh? But in Psalms 110:1, Tehillim in Hebrew, 8:2. There he serves in the holy place, that is, the true tent of meeting, the one erected not by human beings, but by Adonai himself. So think about this. When Moses looked on Mount Sinai and saw the pattern, and he was instructed, what you see, do the same. Who was it but Adonai, and I believe the Yeshua, that revealed that to him? Now continuing, for every Kohen Gadol is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, so this Kohen Gadol too has to have something he can offer. Now if he were on earth, he wouldn't be a Kohen at all, a priest, since there are already Kohenim offering gifts required by the Torah. But what they are serving is only a copy and shadow of the heavenly original. For when Moshe was about to erect the tent, God warned him, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern you were shown on the mountain." Where is that recorded? But in Exodus chapter 25:40, in Hebrew, the book of Shemot. But now the work of Yeshua has been given to do is far superior to theirs, just as the covenant he mediates is better. For this covenant has been given as Torah on the basis of better promises. Indeed, if the first covenant had not given ground for fault finding, there would have been no need for a second one. For God does find fault with the people when he says, and this is the Father speaking, "See, the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will establish over the house of Israel and over the house of Yehuda, Judah, a new covenant. And it will not be the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand and led them forth of the land of Egypt, because for they, for their part, did not remain faithful to my covenant. So I, in my part, stop concerning myself with them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel in those days." Notice that. The house of Israel and Judah in those days will be one. They were separate when the Lord spoke out these words. Continuing here. "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah in their minds, and I shall write it on their hearts." Think about those two tablets with the 10 words, the 10 commandments. Now God will be writing that on the hearts of his people and writing it in their minds. Continuing here. "I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will teach his fellow citizen or his brother, saying, 'Know Adonai,' for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Because I will be merciful toward their wickedness and remember their sins no more." Where is that recorded in the Tanakh? But Jeremiah 31:31-34. So continuing, "By using the term new, he has made the first covenant old, and something being old, something in the process of aging, and is on its way to vanishing now altogether." Now in completing this message, Hebrews or Messianic Jews 10:18. "Now there is forgiveness for these, an offering for sins no longer is needed. So, brothers, we have confidence to use the way to the holy place opened by the blood of Yeshua." He's made the way. He inaugurated it for us as new and living through the parachet, which is what? The curtain of the Mishkan and later the temple. By means of his own flesh. We also have a great Kohen over God's household. Therefore, let us approach the holy place with sincere heart. Think about that. Aaron could only come to that place once a year. But you know in scriptures it says this? We are both kings and priests. And what sacrifice God desires for us to bring? That of bulls and goats? No, but to offer our bodies a holy and living sacrifice unto him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So continuing here. "Therefore, let us approach the holiest place with sincere heart in full assurance that comes from trusting, with our hearts sprinkled clean from a bad conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And where's that found? But in Ezekiel 36, 25. And think about this, my brothers and sisters in Messiah, you who are called kings and priests of the God Most High. It says now that we can wash our bodies. And the blood that we've been cleansed is the blood of Messiah Yeshua. And so Hebrews 10, chapter 10 ends with these words. "Let us continue holding fast to the hope we acknowledge without wavering. For the one who has made the promise is trustworthy. And who is that? But God the Father, through the Son, who is our eternal high priest from the order of Melchizedek, has made a way for you and I. And that's why we, as messianic believers in Messiah, can rejoice on this day of Yom Kippur. Because our eternal high priest has not simply covered our sins for 1 year, but he has cleansed us by his own precious blood. That eternal sacrifice. He intercedes for us. So, Father God, we stand together with our brothers and sisters in Messiah who are celebrating Yom Kippur this day. Messianic believers throughout this earth, Almighty God, and many Christians who are coming to their knowledge of their Jewish roots, of their Christian faith. And Father, we also join with those who are now standing before you in the synagogues around this world, Almighty God. We intercede that you remove the veil from their eyes, that they may see the Mashiach, the Messiah, as never before. And may their names be inscribed in the book of life by receiving, by admitting that Yeshua is the Messiah, that he died and he rose from the dead, and by his blood and his blood alone, their sins have been atoned for eternally. And that they confess him as their Messiah, as many of us, both Jew and Gentile, have come to receive Yeshua as our Messiah. This we ask in Yeshua's name. Amen.